There it is, y'all. Come on, John, let that tune in. Let it marinate. Come on, baby. We got some folks tuning in to the show for the first time this Saturday. I know you out there. And one thing that John and I always come out with is we got some dope music to listen to. Hey, the text message is already coming in. Yes, hearing you out in Georgetown. Hey, the message is already coming in, John. Georgetown. Did that say Georgetown, Missouri? I was thinking that was Georgetown, Texas. Am I reading that right, John? Does that say Georgetown, Missouri over there? Holy smokes. I appreciate y'all for listening in. Listen, you never know who is tuning in, who is listening in. And so if this is your first time, I'm going to tell you, listen, this is how we kick it. This is how we kick it. From the north to the south, from the east to the west. Listen, do not stress. And the reason being is because you are blessed. It's your hostess with the mostest, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, Mr. Real Life, Real Talk himself. And I am live, I am wild on your radio dial with a smile on my face. Energy to waste. That's right. And if you're looking for inspiration, unity, and community, then watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Watch this. It is guaranteed that you are in the right place. And we bring in every show the exact same way with D'Angelo singing to us before as y'all tuned in. Makes me think of my wife. I love you, Shayna Campbell. I know you're listening in. Somebody just texted in. What's up, TC? Good to hear your voice. Like I said before, Georgetown, Missouri is tuning in. I love y'all. I respect y'all. Y'all take this message. Y'all share what we're talking about on Real Life, Real Talk with everybody. Tell them to tune in every Saturday, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. We got it rocking and we got it rolling. This is the Horn Radio Station. Y'all, we are live, we are local, and we are always digital. If you have text messages that you want to send in, please send them in to 512-337-3776. And I always reply to the messages on, as y'all have already known. Y'all heard me. Listen to me already talk back and forth with people who've already chimed in. But man, Big John, this is a special day for me. It's been a special week. If y'all want to catch me, I'm at TC Speaks 32 on all social media platforms. I'm going live on IG right now. My email is tyler@tcspeaks.com. And a lot of people are saying, well, Tyler, why you always give your information? A lot of people think when they write into me that I don't respond. And special shout out to my man, Ruben Damien, who I had the opportunity to connect with. He sent me a message over Twitter. I think he was thinking I wasn't going to respond. Yo, your boy ain't so big time that I got a secretary responding or something like that. That ain't me, yo. It's really TC, all right? And so I had the opportunity to connect with the listener, help him through some things that he is going through personally. And that's just me, yo. We are a community. But real quick, I got to check in with Robin. If I'm Batman, he's Robin. Big John, how are you doing? We can't operate this show without my man tweaking and twisting the dials behind the glass. John, how you doing, baby?
You know, just taking one week at a time here, and I hope it turns out a little better for the Longhorns this week than it was last.
Ooh, wait, I'm telling you, brother, I don't want to have another week like them playing Arkansas again. That's for sure. I mean, I don't want to rub it in anybody's face, but my San Diego State Aztecs beat the Pac-12 team of the Arizona Wildcats. So I don't know if anybody cares about that, but that's big for my school. Shout out to SDSU, Aztec football, fight on, keep rolling. But I say this because, man, y'all, listen, really blessed. Had the opportunity to celebrate 10 years of marriage, man. 10 years of marriage to the beautiful, the amazing Shayna Campbell, my wife, my queen, my everything. And, man, 10 years of marriage, you know, that's like, it was a blessing. You know, the one thing that I can tell people, I'm no marriage counselor, but I will tell individuals, I feel like you have to say this with marriage being the way that it is within our country and how it's viewed and the statistics around it. Listen, marriage is constant work. I think a lot of people just get in and think you're just going to roll through some things. Like in marriage, you really learn to work through things on the constant. And the beautiful thing, I will say this to my wife, so you know this, hear me loud and clear, and it's not our first time hearing this. These 10 years of marriage have gone by so fast. And I guess it's a blessing that they have, baby, because, you know, you talk to some people about marriage and they say, man, these 5 to 6 years, these 7 years has been very long, long years of our lives, right? And so 10 years. is with you. You still make me smile when, every time that I look at you. I still have that grin. You still have that glow. You still have that aura about yourself. It's never changed. I don't know it won't go anywhere. Special shout out to Steiner Ranch Steakhouse, man. I don't know if y'all have ever been there over here in Central Texas, but amazing view. Me and my wife, we had the time of our lives celebrating there, and it was so dope, John. Listen, the owner was so big time. He came to dinner that night, and he flew in a helicopter. My man actually flew in a helicopter and just stunted on all of us, man. Like, everybody was looking, but it was a night to hold. And I want to give this piece of advice because I think you all need to hear this. It came to me when I was driving over. Listen, for those of us who are married, I want to say this, and it's a word of encouragement. Listen, tough times in marriage are inevitable. Right. Tough times in a marriage are inevitable, but destruction is optional. Y'all let that marinate. Y'all let that marinate on your cerebral. Let that marinate. Tough times in marriage are inevitable, but destruction is optional. Recognize that in everything that you do, including your marriage, yo, you have the power of choice. You have the capability to choose. When things aren't necessarily going the way that you want them, you get to choose how you want the next steps of those conversations. When you're arguing, you get to choose how your rebuttals are going to be. You get to choose how your attitude is going to be before you enter into your home. You get to choose how you want to carry yourself as a man or a woman on this earth. Free will and choice. You always have the opportunity to choose. And I think marriage has always taught me that what you did one day does not matter. No matter how good it was the next day, something is waiting for you. No matter what you did yesterday, something is waiting for you the next day. All right. It's not how many points you scored the day before because you started with a totally different tally the next day. That's why it's always constant work. You can't always get into cruise control because that will cause you to lose control. Y'all heard me say that again. Let that marinate as well. But if you were listening to me intently, you heard me. I had to say cerebrum instead of cerebellum, and the reason being is because I have some apologizing to do, y'all. I've always let this slogan, let that marinate on your cerebellum, flow fluidly, and I have to confess that your boy TC is wrong. I have not been utilizing that before the right way. I actually had an appointment with my neurologist, Dr. Edward Fox. Shout out to my man Foxy, you're a beast. He had to educate me and had to explain, like, you know, Tyler, you've been saying cerebellum, and that's actually the wrong portion of the brain. He was like, when it comes to the thought process and the thinking and the cognitive, you really should ask people to let it marinate on their cerebrum, all right? The cerebellum is actually the back portion of the head that controls your balance, your walking, your standing, your complex motor functions, all right? That's all cerebellum. So if I'm telling somebody to let it marinate on your cerebellum, that's not exactly accurate, all right? Because that ain't going to help you. That's controlling your walking and your standing. What I should be telling people, he said, is you got to let it marinate on your cerebrum. The cerebrum is the largest part of the brain that controls your thoughts, your reading, your writing, your learning, your cognitive. All right, so we got to switch that thing up. Y'all bear with me. I do apologize. I am human. Y'all know I'll be making up words on this show. They're made up like journalized, rhythmatic, all this other stuff. Sometimes it just flows. But I am going to correct it, man. I appreciate my neurologist, Dr. Edward Fox, for holding me accountable as a listener. Y'all know I'm always trying to grow. I'm always trying to get better. I'm trying to feed you all nothing but content and knowledge. So we're going to switch that thing, and we are now going to say, let it marinate on your cerebrum, because that is the cortex of the brain that helps with your cognitive. All right. So your boy had to admit that he was wrong. But I'm so excited because in this next segment, all right, I have the capability to introduce and interview a neurologist, multiple sclerosis expert by the name of Mitzi Joy Williams. Yo, she's like a big sister to me. She is world renowned neurologist. And we're going to discuss like our Pro Player Foundation Educate, Elevate, Collaborate initiative. Y'all heard me talk about that over and over again. Dr. Williams is a best selling author, a speaker, and an educator. And we are so incredibly grateful for her time and her expertise. I'm so proud to be able to increase our MS outreach through her with awareness and engagement, along with what we're doing with EEC, Educate, Elevate, and Collaborate. And special shout out to Genentech for being our tailgate sponsor for this. We're just getting started. Great things are going to come. The title of the message that we're having today is Get Out of Self, right? And Get Into Team. Get out of self and get into team. Y'all stay with us. Dr. Williams is going to come in and drop some knowledge and some bombs with me. And listen, we got it going on Real Life, Real Talk today. Take us out, Big John. Real Life, Real Talk Nation. It's your man Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, and it brings me such incredible joy. Listen, y'all, I'm bringing somebody from the dirty, dirty South into the building, whom I consider a great friend of mine, Dr. Mitzi Joy Williams, and she is a board-certified neurologist and fellowship-trained multiple sclerosis specialist who serves as the founder and CEO of the Joy Life Wellness Group Multiple Sclerosis Center all the way in Noonan, Georgia. She is considered a subject matter expert in neurology, multiple sclerosis, and health disparities. Y'all, this lady has it going on. She has a background of 15 years within the multiple sclerosis field with her experience. And not only that, but she is the author of MS Made Simple, the essential guide to understanding your multiple sclerosis diagnosis. And last but not least, I gotta shout this out because it was with such great joy that I was able to be a guest on her show. She also has the Facebook show, Brain Chat with the Nerdy Neurologist. And y'all, when I tell y'all there's such great information, she has dynamic guests. Please, please take the time to look up Dr. Mitzi Joy Williams. Mitzi, how you doing, my dear?
I am doing excellent. It is absolutely my pleasure to be on your show. So this is really cool. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Hey, we welcome you all the way over here in Central Texas, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you. And we have so many different listeners, and I always try to utilize the platform that I have to educate the multiple sclerosis community, as well as those who are not as familiar with MS. So taking all of those things into account, Mitzi, we want to start from the bare minimum with MS, starting at the bottom of the bottom. In your own terminology, in words that people can understand, Mitzi, yo, what is multiple sclerosis and how exactly does it impact our physical body?
Absolutely. Excellent question. So a lot of times people get MS confused with MD, which is muscular dystrophy. So MS is not muscular dystrophy, but what it is an autoimmune disease, meaning the immune system, the part of the body that normally attacks viruses and bacteria, gets confused and attacks a good part of the body. The part of the body that's attacked with MS is called the myelin, which is the coating of the nerves that works kind of like insulation in a wire. Mm-hmm. I always use the example of my headphones. So if my headphones get a short in them, right, if the wire is damaged, then the signals don't work properly and I can't hear. And that's essentially what happens to the connections between the brain and the rest of the body. So it affects the brain and the spinal cord. And the symptoms can be very different in different people. For some people, it's vision loss. For some people, it's numbness and weakness. Some people can have symptoms that are confused with a stroke. But I think the key is if someone is having new neurologic symptoms, they need to get checked out by their physician, and then they can determine if they think the symptoms are more like MS or more related to something else.
Oh, and I love that. And that's why I wanted you to explain that so much, because people often think that you can group MS into one category, but people are affected in different ways with their bodies as far as how MS impacts their bodies. And so I tell people all the time, Missy, like, my MS is not your MS and your MS is not mine. So therefore, people, you don't want to compare yours to somebody else or what you may read all the time.
Absolutely. So I always say, if you've seen one person with MS, you have seen one person with MS, because everybody can be so different.
That's it. That's it. And you talked about the detection of MS. And a lot of times that, you know, people who are walking this road of trying to get diagnosed, I remember hearing you say this, most of the time, people have seen one doctor, maybe two doctors, maybe even more than that before they get their official diagnosis. I was lucky. I was blessed. I got diagnosed with one. But for many, it takes a longer journey. And you always speak so passionately about why it's important for patients to get a second opinion. Can you talk about the importance of that? Because I know sometimes people feel either they feel beat down, they feel bogged down, they feel afraid to try to maybe go out and seek out a second opinion. Can you speak on that?
Absolutely, right? And so, you know, one of the things that's really important, whether you have MS or any other condition, is to be your own best advocate, right? In a perfect world, everybody gets the same service, everybody gets the same access to care, but it just doesn't work like that. So I'm a big advocate of people advocating for themselves. And oftentimes people who have come to see me will say, Dr. Williams, I went and saw someone else. They said nothing was wrong with me, but I knew something was wrong. And so they sought that second opinion just to make sure, right? I even have people who seek a second opinion after diagnosis to confirm the diagnosis. So it's okay to seek another opinion to make sure that you're confirming what's wrong or trying to find out what's wrong. Because if you know something is wrong with your body, then I think you have to keep, going to seek, an opinion until you figure out what's going on.
I love it. I love it. And when you talk about seeing people, Missy, one of the other things, y'all listen, I study me some Mitzi Williams, and I literally write down notes, just like I hope y'all are doing right now. Listen, because me and Mitzi I've had the joy to interact with y'all, with her. But one of the things I wrote down, Mitzi, was you spoke to me about how, when you've seen patients, you've also had the opportunity to interact with their families. And sometimes when you interact with the family, you get the full story, or vice versa.
Right.
You're able to also maybe educate the family, or not even the family. Maybe it's the caretaker. Can you talk also about how it may be a good idea for MS patients to not just show up if it's your first time to a neurologist, or if you're going to these reoccurring appointments, to maybe bring in a family member? Because the family member or the caretaker is going to need some advice, some love on them as well. Because everybody's in this thing together, Missy. Like, it takes a village, real talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think the thing that's important is that, to recognize that MS is not a disease that just affects that person. It affects everybody that's around them, right? Whether it's their children, whether it is their other family members, whether it is their care partners, their friends, and their loved ones. So in part of that advocating for yourself, it's very important to remember that those people and those care partners and those loved ones are really an asset to you when you come to the doctor, right? So when they come with you, they can often talk about things that you may not have noticed, that you may not have observed. There may be symptoms that you've had that you may have forgotten about. They also can be very helpful in taking notes, right? So that you can focus on the visit and what's going on, and then also that education is extremely important, especially about some of those silent symptoms of MS, things like cognitive problems, things like fatigue. I do a lot of education for family members so that they know, okay, this person is not being lazy, right? This is a part of their MS, or this person is not ignoring what you're saying to them. The cognitive issues are a part of the MS, and that often helps improve relationships because they hear from another source that this is the MS, and not just, oftentimes willful behavior.
So very well said. I would not expect anything less from somebody from Delta Sigma Theta. I wouldn't expect anything less. Y'all, Mitzi has been throwing up the Dynasty Stein for a very, very long period of time. So shout out to the Deltas on that thing. But that is so important. And I think that helps set the standard of helping people to know that you can't do this thing alone. And sometimes there are things that are hidden that people don't always get to see. And I'm so glad that you pointed out the cognitive, the fatigue. I think with me and my wife personally, those are the things that we go over a lot, because a lot of times you can't see them. But man, we feel them as MS patients. Let's dive a little bit deeper though, Missy, because I love this discussion, and I know this is something that is near and dear to your heart. You are a great advocate for this within your industry and within your field of study. When we talk about clinical trials, specifically amongst people of color, those of us as black men and black women within this country, we have a lot of battles with our faith in terms of being a part of any trial. When we talk about the Tuskegee Institute, or when we talk about Healer, when we talk about Henrietta, those of you who don't know, y'all look that up. It won't take long to Google. But we have a halt as people of color when it comes to clinical study. And I was a part of a clinical study or a clinical trial, Mitzi, and I try to advocate for that as best as I can. Can you break down from your perspective and your own professional knowledge that you can bestow on people why clinical trials for people of color are so incredibly important, and why we need to choose to participate?
Absolutely. So as you said, I'm very, very passionate about this subject, and for a couple of reasons, right? So when I was coming along through training, we were always taught that MS was the disease of a young white person, right? And if you look at the statistics globally, that often is true. But when we look particularly here in the U.S., we're finding that the risk may be increased in black people, right? Which is something that we never thought of until maybe the past 10 years or so. And not only is the risk possibly increased in black people, but in certain groups such as black and Hispanic Latino Americans, the disease can often be worse. And so I used to get asked to do all of these lectures about MS in the black population during Black History Month. And when I would go and try to look up information to make these talks and lectures, there was virtually nothing there. I remember the first lecture I did about African Americans and MS, I literally could print every article that was written in English and put it in one 3-ring binder. And wow. Every year I could almost reread that whole binder before I would do another talk because there was so little data. Wow. And when we look at trying to understand how the disease behaves over time, one of the best ways to look at that is through clinical trials because everything is very controlled. But when we look at our clinical trials, there are very few people of color in our clinical trials, right? Some of them only have like 10 black people. Some of them may have 20 or 30, but in our early studies, half of those people were on placebo or no medicine. So you still only got 10 people that were actually on therapy. So it's one of the best ways that we can kind of measure how the disease behaves over time. Also, you get access to very good medical care. So people are being monitored very closely. Often the care is free. Often the medication is free, right? And so there are often many benefits that people aren't aware of. So I'm a big advocate of everyone doing their own research, right? We definitely know that there have been so many things that have happened in the past that have been unjust in the field of research. We also know that discrimination happens within the medical system on a regular basis now, right? But in order to begin to try to change those things, we have to be a part of the conversation, right? And we won't begin to understand why we see these differences and why we see this worsening if we're not a part of the research conversation. And, you know, I also recommend for many people, if a clinical trial is not your thing, get in where you fit in. There are registries, right? We started the African-American MS Registry. There are other studies where they talk about diet or exercise or other interventions. Find something that you can do because there's something that everybody can do to contribute to the body of knowledge.
And that's the thing. And that's why I started Educate, Elevate, Collaborate, my own form of initiative for getting the awareness out, guiding people on where they can go to get the information that they need. We all have a part to play, and we can join this and let this be our mission. So I'm so glad you did that. I'm going to go through one last question for you, y'all, because Dr. Mitzi is extremely busy. Y'all don't understand how much this means. But listen, with the numbers they say they're increasing amongst black and Latino community, Mitzi. And I'll say this because I see more and more people being scared. But I have a question. Are the numbers increasing, Mitzi, because we are finally more part of the inclusion of the research getting done, or are the numbers really escalating at these rapid rates because something is going on within our communities or within these underserved communities abroad? And I just wanted your take on that because I know that's the question I get asked a lot for the people who do choose to dive in and research.
Absolutely. So the honest answer is we don't know, right? But there are a lot of things that we can look at, right? So, you know, my thoughts are that there are a lot of different things going on. I think that the way that we are able to diagnose MS is a lot easier now than it was in the past. You know, MRIs used to be, so many, many moons ago, MRIs used to be very difficult to order, right? I remember as a student and as a resident ordering MRIs in the hospital and getting a call back like, are you sure you need this? Why are you ordering this? Or that's not a good enough reason to order this really expensive study, so we're going to cancel it, right? And so now we can get MRIs. They're much more accessible, right? And that's one of the primary ways that we diagnose MS. We can get an MRI if you go to the hospital and you were in a car accident, if you have a headache, you know, so there are a lot of other ways that we can get those studies done and diagnose people earlier. But at the same time, you know, in my clinical experience, I'm seeing a lot of people with new diagnoses. I mean, not new like I mean, like new, like last week, last month, right? So is there some environmental factor that's playing a role? You know, there's a lot that we don't understand. There's research that's just now looking at things like the gut microbiome. Are the things that we're eating and taking into our bodies affecting our risk for MS? And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But again, in order to understand why we're seeing what we're seeing, we need to be a part of that research conversation.
I love it. I love it. Y'all, thank you so very much, Missy. I appreciate
you.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Queen, coming to us all the way from Georgia. And you listen, y'all, you need to check out Brain Chat with the Nerdy Neurologist on Facebook. And you can also follow Missy on Twitter, Nerdy Neuro MD. She's the Nerdy Neurologist if you're on IG. She is everywhere. Look her up on LinkedIn. I promise she stays so incredibly busy. Missy, I thank you for the woman that you are. Thank you for your advocacy, and thank you for your mission.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure working with you, Tyler.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. That is what I'm talking about. Teamwork, making the dream work. Yo, Missy came in with some fire knowledge. I'm suggesting to everybody, y'all take this when it posts to SoundCloud and you run it back, you play it back, learn and research a little bit more about Missy, and you see what we're doing here at Educate, Elevate, and Collaborate, man. Special shout out to Genentech for making this thing happen. We'll come back on the other side of this break and we're going to piggyback off of that. Like, get out of self and into team, and we're going to get closer to the dream. Take us out, Big John. Love it. Yes. Keep letting that play, man. Love Mariah Carey. Oh. Yes, yes, y'all. Man, I told everybody in that first segment, if you're just now tuning in, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, Real Life, Real Talk. Yo, text us in here on the horn, 512-337-3776. This is the horn. We're live, local, and we are digital. Man, 10 years of marriage in the books, man, and celebrating the anniversary this week. Thank you to my wife. But if you're just now tuning in, yo, you missed a dynamic last segment with Dr. Missy Joy Williams. Yo, shout out to Genentech for being our tailgate sponsor of Educate, Elevate, Collaborate initiative, for making this thing happen. But she brought so much great perspective. She's somebody who I consider like a big sister, and a lot of great facts. When this thing gets posted via SoundCloud, listen, y'all download it, y'all listen into it, play it back. There's so many gems that she gave, not just for MS patients, but for just people who don't know as much about the MS community, or maybe you know of someone who has multiple sclerosis. So many great gems, and Missy, I really appreciate you. She's like a big sister. She's opened up so many great doors for me. I am forever grateful to her, and we're gonna get this thing rolling. That's kind of why that model of teamwork, that thought process, with what I know about Missy, that's what made me come up with the title for today as Get Out of Self, ladies and gentlemen, and into team, right? That's right. Get out of self and into team. There's always an amazing quote that I always loved, and it latched on to me when I was in elementary school when I was watching Sister Act 2 with Sister Mary Clarence. Shout out to Whoopi Goldberg, right? And she said in the movie, she said, if you want to be somebody and if you want to go somewhere, yo, you better wake up and pay attention. Real Life, Real Talk Nation, everybody who's tuning in for the very first time, or you're just now tuning in today, listen, if you want to be somebody, you want to go somewhere, I'm about to drop some knowledge and some gems up on you, and I need you to wake up and pay attention. And John, if you can, I know it's late in the show, but we still got to be consistent. If we need that TC Speaks, I want you to hit it with me two times so we can dive into this message. Hit it with us, Big John. One more, John, one more. Wow, well, let's get into it then. Get out of self and get into team. Principle number one, what will you leave behind? Ask yourself that question today, and for the rest of this week. Let it marinate on your cerebrum. I walked through that, not cerebellum. We got to switch it up because the cerebellum doesn't talk about the functioning of the brain that necessarily reverts to cognitive skills. So your boy TC had to correct it. Let it marinate on your cerebrum. What will you leave behind as a man or a woman on this earth? I was listening to Patrick Byers just last night. I was on a on a Zoom call, there's a young lady by the name of Christiana who goes to Stony Point High School here in Round Rock, Texas. She's fighting for her life, and I know that better things are coming with her contract of COVID, but she's fighting, and he threw that question out to us on the call. What will you leave behind? All right, what will you leave behind? It starts when you raise that question, it's a humbling thought. Because we are all constant works in progress. Nobody is ever where they want to be in life. I don't care if it's a CEO. I don't care if it's a person who's on the top of their game. They're at the leader of it. I feel like, to be honest, if we all have to be honest, we are constant works in progress, and we are constantly looking to always get better if we're letting grow. You know, the remaining constant in life is change. And we're going to always need to change to learn to adapt and to learn to thrive. And if we're going to thrive, if we want to get more in depth into our thoughts and learn what it is that we need to leave behind so that people behind us, the generations after us and beyond, can prosper off of the way that we live our lives, we've got to start thinking about what it is that we're going to do that is going to produce some longevity out of life. So if you're listening to this show, Real Life, Real Talk, yo, what are you leaving behind? And when you start to think about that, I don't care who you are, because we're constant works in progress, it should cause the hairs on your neck to kind of stand up. Like, it kind of should, the question should light a little bit of fire underneath you to say, like, I've got so much more to do with life while I have it, while there's breath within my lungs, while there's a need for me to be something, to be somebody. I've got to start taking care of business. And I know John Lewis is somebody who I used to look up to, Congressman, who's done so much in his life when he was here on this earth. He used to have a movie. I watched it not too long ago, and it was called Good Trouble. I want to switch that thing. I'm going to call today, like, yo, when you think about what you will leave behind, that's good pressure. Right? That's good pressure, because we know that that's a monumental feat. We know that we can always do better. So I'm asking everybody to look inside of themselves and literally think about, with where you are right here and right now, what are you doing to leave behind for not only your family members, but for people you don't know? When they Google your name, what is it that people are going to find? All right. And I think that thinking about those things, it forces you all, or it forces me, it forces everybody to start being a little bit more outspoken, to turn the tides of being introvert and turn it into being an extrovert. Because when we talk about teamwork, when we talk about get out of self and into team, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're doing anything in life that you are desiring to go after, there's going to come a time and a crossroads in your life where you're going to have to ask somebody for help. It's not meant for you to be all about yourself. You're going to have to ask somebody. You're going to have to formulate a team. You're going to have to formulate a level of Rolodex or connections in your life of people who can help you get along to where you're trying to go. Because we're constant works in progress. We do not know it all, ladies and gentlemen, nor are we supposed to. So therefore, we have to get into the habit of reaching out in formulating our own teams. I know I talk a lot about entrepreneurship. Yo, you look at my own life. I was forced to learn to become an advocate at a very, very early age in my life, living with MS at the age of 21 when I was in San Diego, California, all by myself, y'all. When it came to, like, learning more about MS and learning what I had to deal with, I had to go from introvert to being an outspoken extrovert, especially when it came to my own health, because when you're doing this thing, you're going to be forced to speak about what it is that you're looking to accomplish in your life, and it will push you. And sometimes that pressure is good. So when I'm telling people, what are you going to leave behind? Yo, you're going to have to be a little bit more extroverted. You're going to have to reach out. You're going to have to do some uncomfortable things. You're going to have to formulate a team. But in doing so, understand that you are one step closer to leaving a footprint in the soil for people to follow behind. And it further uplifts you. It inspires you. It keeps you motivated. And it keeps you pressing. All right. Even when the tides of life come crashing into your life. All right. You've got to think about this moving forward for the rest of this week. And we'll catch you on the other side of this break. What is it that you are going to leave behind? All right. And embrace that pressure, because there's some great things that have come up after that. Take us out, Big John. We'll catch you on the other side of this break. Let's go, so we can grow, ladies and gentlemen. Man, come on, Mariah. Keep singing to us, y'all. Hey, we got a Mariah Carey Saturday, man. When you hear that voice, you hear those high notes, man, it's unbelievable. Look it. Listen to it, man. Woo! Come on. Listen, only she can pull that off. A Mariah Carey fan I am. Yes, indeed. Hey, Tyler Campbell, Mr. Real Life Real Talk himself. We are going live wild on your radio dial, 512-337-3776. Yo, shout out to my boys, man, Jaden, Keller, and Amir. Yo, they sent in the text messages. You never know who's listening. Like I said, when I talk about leaving, what are you leaving behind? These are the next generation who needs to pick up what it is that you put down and leave behind. All right, that's a prime example, yo. What are you leaving behind for that next generation after us to follow? All right, we're talking about get out of self and into team. It has been a magnificent day. Thank you, Dr. Mitzi Williams, for the knowledge that she has dropped and bestowed upon us within the MS community. This is all a part of what we do at Educate, Elevate, and Collaborate. That is the collaboration portion of it. That is the teamwork portion of it, because team is very much essential to getting whatever it is that you have marinating in your heart out into the world for everybody else to see, and blessing the world with whatever it is that you've been gifted with. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, that pressure, when you think about what you're going to leave behind, that pressure was what will cause you to be more outspoken, will cause you to have a fire lit underneath you than you possibly have ever had before. So think about the end and what you want that to look like, and what it is that you're going to be behind, what it is you're going to leave behind. All right. Get out of self and into team. That's principle number one. Principle number two, like, you don't know it all, therefore you can't do it all. Write that down. You don't know it all, and you can't do it all. I think the mission, in terms of when you really figure out what it is that you're trying to go after and what you're trying to go and go out and accomplish for whatever desire that you have over your heart, you quickly feel like you're overwhelmed in process, because you don't exactly know how in the world you're going to start accomplishing these things. And what you quickly begin to realize is you're going to have to learn to communicate with other people, bring other people into the fold, especially even if you're an entrepreneur. Just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you got to do it solo. Any entrepreneur will tell you they're going to have to go to other people to provide resources, or to take phone calls, or to get meetings scheduled, or to get a foot in the door here. You're going to have to lean on somebody, and so you're going to have to become a little bit more extroverted in what it is that you're doing, even if you are an introvert. It's going to cause you to lean on people. Why? Because somebody is already out there who already has a greater expertise than where you are with where you're starting at. All right? You don't know it all, therefore you can't do it all. All right? So you're going to have to start leaning on people. Who is it that you're leaning on? Who is it that you're going into this week that you're going to have to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, listen, I need some help. Or, hey, I need to brainstorm some ideas. I need to bounce some things off of you so that I can get to a greater place. That's why Dr. Mitzi Williams was so special to me, because I actually leaned on Mitzi, and I always had a hope to be able to communicate with people across the pond, like getting into Europe and voicing messages and being able to help. Mitzi was responsible for that, man. She helped allow me to be on boards that are across the country. And I feel special, but I feel very, very privileged because she did that for me. All right. And that's why I know she approached this show with a great level of passion and energy. And I'm hoping you all will pick up on that because, you know, that's just the type of person she is. You know, you don't know it all. You can't do it all. I've had to lean on Mitzi. You know what I mean? I've had to lean on other people throughout this thing. Pro Player Foundation, Mary B., I've had to lean on that. I've had to lean on my wife for greater expertise and challenges. I've had to go out and engage and be a part of speaking seminars. I've had to reach out to Eric Thomas's Game Changers program to be better equipped as a speaker. I've had to reach out. But when you reach out, understand that it all is going to come back to you. So take the pressure off yourself, because where you start at is not where you're going to finish at anyway. You can't do it all. But when you surround yourself with some people, you'll notice that you become more creative, because you can bounce ideas off of these individuals. Yo, what have you done? Where have you failed at? What steps can I alleviate? Yo, and that produces less stress towards going whatever you're trying to go after, even though you can't see how you're going to reach the destination. So that's why I'm asking people to orchestrate a team of individuals around you. And yes, to do that, you're going to have to get uncomfortable. Yes, to do that, you're going to have to step outside of your comfort zone, but the blessing will come back to you tenfold if you're ready to put in the work and you're ready to speak out. Less stress comes from that. And ladies and gentlemen, when you have less stress going on in your life based off of something you're wanting to accomplish, you understand that you have better clarity of judgment, and that you also put yourself in a situation where you have less errors, because those are things that stress produces. So take the stress off of yourself. Somebody is out here, you're listening right here and right now, and you are doing everything. You're the secretary, you're the idea maker, you're doing the social media, you're doing all the phone calls. ask yourself, I'm asking you to take a step back a little bit, man. Ease the stress. Reach out to somebody who you know can help you produce some shortcuts, some ways you can go around it based off of what they've already experienced. And when communication is forced, you'll notice that your creativity will start to flow. When you get around other people, you are going to have further room for creativity because you're going to bounce ideas off of other people. All right. Get out of self, ladies and gentlemen, and get into team. You don't know it all, so you can't be expected to do it all. Take that pressure off of yourself. When you get yourself around people who are trustworthy, I think that's the biggest thing. Get around some people who are trustworthy. That way that you can go to a level of constructive criticism with those individuals, right? Some people who can look at your ideas and say, man, you may want to take a tweak here. You may want to implement this over here. And then it comes without judgment. And when you know you aren't judged, when you know that another opposing person is within your circle of influence and that person is trustworthy, when they have feedback for you, you're able to receive it because you know it's not coming from a tough place, all right, or a place of malice or hatred. And I think that's one of the biggest things with us as individuals. When we surround ourselves with teams and we can't handle constructive criticism, then the team doesn't grow. You know, and I think that's one of the biggest things that athletics taught me and prepared me for was the ability to work within a team. But watch this, the ability to take on constructive criticism. When you take on that constructive criticism, you're able to grow. You're able to not take things so personal, not get so emotional and tied in to where you can't digest and process what somebody is trying to help you with. And therefore, you fall into a situation where you're not able to leave something behind. And therefore, you're not able to process what I'm telling you today. And you're still saying in self instead of getting into team. All right. I know that's a lot to process. I know that that's a lot to pick up on. But what I'm trying to tell you is also when you get into a team atmosphere, these are the things that come back to you. And watch this. This is the other thing. Your brainstorming and your creativity will go to a whole nother level. Y'all know this, man. Sometimes you got so much stuff upstairs and you don't really know it's that great of an idea, or you're kind of unsure. You don't know if you're going to take the next step. But when you get yourself in a team, and by team, it could be one other person. I'm not telling you got to get 8 or 10 people around you. When you just get one other person that's trustworthy to bounce an idea off of, it helps you. That way, they have a level of creativity and twist that they can put on something. And before you know it, man, you get to another level. Look at all of our team sports. Listen, we love Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan don't get the rock if BJ Armstrong, John Paxson, Ron Harper, Scottie Pippen, they ain't in there to help facilitate. Yo, Barry Sanders is one of the top runners who ever lived in this game. But people love to see Barry shake and bake, but understand there are 10 other people on the field, whether you want to recognize it or not. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has to lean on somebody. I love LeBron. Yo, but somebody got to get LeBron the rock. Somebody got to get him the pill up the court so he can do some magic with it and further elevate the team. You have to get accustomed to working and utilizing teamwork. Teamwork helped me become a better self-advocate. I mean, a better advocate for my MS. I knocked on doors. Mary B. at Pro Player Foundation helped. My wife helped. Family tuned in. Everything kept me lifted. I am not a one-person show, y'all. There are individuals within my phone who keep me lifted on the regular. If you are to live your life right now, my question to you is, who do you have on the line that you can call that keeps you lifted? All right? That keeps you upheld. That challenges you to leave something behind in the soil each and every day that you have breath in your lungs. And if you don't have that person, ladies and gentlemen, we got work to do, because right now you're making life harder on yourself than it has to be. And that's not what you were created. That's not what you were designed to do. You weren't designed to have to fight this fight in life all by yourself. And a lot of there's a lot of that in the world today where everybody's like, yo, it's on me. I'm doing this for me. Yo, I got myself here. Yo, nobody gets anywhere where they want to be in life, that peak position, by themselves. That's just not the way life is designed. It is designed to get people out of comfort zones and to force them to communicate with other people so they can help lift you. Yo, ease your burden. Somebody is knocking their head up against the wall today because they stand stuck and they can't figure out why they can't move forward. But everything that they're having for themselves, they're keeping it internally within themselves. No, man, there's somebody out here who's supposed to help you. And I don't know if it's a coach. I don't know if it's that person who's the clerk at the gas station. Yo, I don't know if it's the receptionist of your doctor's appointment. I don't know who it is. But you have got to start voicing and speaking about what you are, what you have internally going on upstairs as well as in your heart. Yo, get out of self, ladies and gentlemen. Get self out the way. Move self completely. Remove it and get in the team. All right? If you want to be somebody, you want to go somewhere, I hope that you woke up and paid attention. Sister Mary Clarence from Sister Act 2. All right? What will you leave behind, ladies and gentlemen? And you don't know it all. Therefore, you can't do it all. Quit putting the added weight on yourself that doesn't need to be there. Love y'all. I respect y'all. Dr. Mitzi, hey, thank you so very much. Tailgate sponsors, Genentech, appreciate you. Look forward to coming to the microphone next time. Take us out, John.